Well, about the same time that the co-op started and that you got involved with the unemployed, the CCF was just beginning in BC, wasn't it?
Yes, we had many clubs here in South Burnaby. We had the Central Park CCF, we had the Jubilee CCF, we had the Royal Oak CCF, we had the Highland Park CCF, and we had the Edmund CCF. So, there was all those CCF clubs in South Burnaby. That was in South Burnaby. Of course, you see, transportation was, there was not the cars that you have today, and you didn't get around like you do today. It was all straight walking, and those people who were mostly the poorer class people that joined them, and we got together, we had our good times, and we raised our little bit of money, and we helped our, helped ourselves along that long line, you see. And we even had our ball clubs, softball clubs.
CCF, softball clubs?
Yes, it was a Central Park. CCF had a softball club, and the Jubilee had a softball club. Yeah, at least they played under the banners. There wasn't too much money behind it. In fact, they had to have the boys had to have their own dances, but they had the club behind them to help them along with it, you know. The boys usually did most of the legwork and stuff like that. But you had a fair following at all the places. You always had a general meeting. You had anywhere from 35, 40 people. We had used to meet in what they called Fir Lodge in those days down in Central Park. It was a little, actually it was a sort of a pavilion at one time that they had there when Central Park had an auto camp in it, or a camping ground in it. Not an auto camp, but a camping ground.
The tents.
Yeah. And they had this pavilion, you see. So it was in very good shape, this pavilion. They had to put a new roof on it, of course, when my dad took over. And volunteer labor, we got the roof put on. And municipality supplied the shingles, and they closed it all in, put some windows in it. In fact, I think there was windows that belonged to it that put in. But they had been taken out and put away, you see, so they wouldn't get broken, locked up in the shed or something. But we had to clean all them up and fix them all up, and this was a little fur lodge, and we had a little kitchen on the side. And Dad was the caretaker of it, and of course he made a few dollars on the side by looking after the different things there. But that helped him out. We had a quite lively little club there. But, we had our progressives there, and we had our right wing people there too, and was to trying to please both sides. We sometimes used to have quite a conflict or a discussions between the two, and usually we hit a happy medium down.
People could compromise.
Yeah, that's right. We had the right wingers seemed to be the ones that would get the most discouraged about it. And in fact, lots of times they'd say, well, we're going to resign our position as the executive or something over it. But they'd think better of it by the time the next meeting come around, and they'd be back there again.
Well, wasn't it the 1933 election that Ernie Winch got in for Burnaby, was it?
Yes, it was in that area, yes. And he got in every time he ran in Burnaby, too.
So that must have given some kind of impetus to the movement.
Yes, well, we used to have quite a few speakers. We used to have Ernie Winch, and we had... used to have an old fellow from White Rock, Weaver. What was his first name? George Weaver. And he was an old man then, or a fairly old man then. He was an old socialist, the old school, and a very slow speaker. He never hurried himself at all, and if you were a person that liked to hear somebody fluent like Harold Winch or something like this speak, and then you heard him speak, you wouldn't you know, you'd say, I'll take Harold Winch before I take George Weaver. But at our little group, we used to like to hear George quite often. And he more or less on an educational group, like you see. He's one of the favorite speakers. We had Edmund Baker. He ran in 1935
on the federal
election. Yeah, you know that one, do they? I was the scrutineer. I was 19 years of age. No, I was 20 years of age. And I'd be 21 on October the 20th, and the date of the election was October the 12th, I believe. And I went up as a scrutineer for the CCF, and I had to be sworn in on a dirty old Bible in an old conservative's house that you couldn't hardly get in or out of it. It was so small and so cut up that the little rooms that they had for that, they were almost just like voting booths. That's how big the rooms were in the place. I'm telling you, we had McDonald's up on Hall of Avenue, and I had to be sworn in I couldn't vote. But boy, I really pulled for Edmund Baker. Mm-hmm. He was a minister out in Surrey, I believe, one time.
Burnaby wasn't so successful federally.
No. It was, that went back to King, didn't it?
Yeah, McKenzie.
That was when they beat Sir Bennett out, old Iron Heel Bennett.
Mm-hmm. Were other people in your family involved in politics?
No, my dad, yeah. He got chastised once or twice for being in politics, on the wrong side of politics, while he was working for the municipality.
Yeah, I wondered about that, if his son was running around joining all these radical groups and things.
My dad was also mixed up in it too, and so was my mother. Mother was quite interesting. Like she was just as, but I think she was actually in it. Down in, of course, she died when she was only 52 years old. In 1940, and actually she was a school teacher, but she was very progressive in her ideas. She was my best friend in this.
So a lot of your philosophies came from your family background?
Yes, that's right. My dad was always... and then a lot of my philosophies come from reading Bible class, and I always believed in universal brotherhood, and this connects with co-ops and so on and so forth. You know, this all goes along with these things.